Well, at least on the continental United States, it's now Saturday. That means full moon open lines tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Lots of emails about my interview that we just had with Dan Rather. And some people said, "What? I can't believe that he believes Oswald acted alone." Don't forget one thing. Opinion. It's his opinion. And you have yours, and I have mine, and that's important. And that's what the basis of this program is all about. We don't muffle people. If somebody says something that we might not agree with, because that's their opinion, they're entitled to that, as you are yours, and that's what makes this country great. Now let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center with his weekly UFO update. Peter, what do we have this week?
Well, good evening, George, and boy, what an honor to follow an interview with Dan Rather.
Normally, you follow an interview on Zika virus or something else, so how about that?
Yeah, pretty good. Actually, he did a story about me back, it was, I think I can tell you the date, it was the 18th of July, 1976. I'd just been arrested aboard a Soviet fishing vessel and got off of that vessel by the skin of my teeth.
Whoa.
Had a bunch of friends.
You would have been fish food.
Yeah, I would have been bait for sure. But friends heard about it, heard my name on CBS News that night, 6 o'clock news. So it's funny how things come around in a giant circle. You meet people you cross paths with ages ago.
Hey, you've got to do, by the way, a show with us about submersible UFOs.
Yeah.
And put together some info on that. But what do we have this week?
Boy, a bunch of really interesting reports. We just updated our website earlier tonight, and I'd like to start with a couple past sighting reports, one from about August of 1930. A person who works in MUFON out in Missouri who wishes to remain anonymous, I would give her credit if she hadn't requested anonymity, but she just had a telephone interview with a woman who's 96 years of age, still in control of all her faculties, very bright woman, who tells a story about her grandmother and mother and her who used to see little gray creatures in their home in Missouri, in the Piedmont area of Missouri, down near Poplar Bluff and just west or northwest of Lake Wapapello, I think it is, straight south of St. Louis. They had repeat visitations at night by these creatures. We have that report posted. Anybody who's interested in past sighting reports, and I hope that's many people, I hope they'll take a look at that report. It's very interesting, very well prepared, and I'm grateful to MUFON for their having shared it. Have another past sighting report. This one is from Seattle in 1947, George. This might be a report about a sighting of the objects that Ken Arnold saw on the 24th of June, 1947. Apparently, or from this report, it appears as though they may have been seen in Ballard, which is just north of the Space Needle, probably not more than 4 or 5 miles north of the Space Needle. Fellow, 10 years of age, he was underneath the dining room table at his family's home in Ballard.
What was he doing under there?
Well, I don't know, but he was almost prescient to be there because his father started yelling earthquake.
Jeez.
The house started shaking, so he was probably in the best part of the house for survival purposes. And they all rushed outside just in time to see a cluster of, I think he implies, five very highly reflective spheres or rings of light. Very, very interesting report. Anybody who's interested in reports from 1947 might enjoy reading that. More recent report from New Mexico is from Jemez Springs. I hope I pronounced that correctly. J-E-M-E-Z Springs. September of last year, September 18th, the gentleman saw a couple of objects that just streaked over his head. I mentioned this case, even though it's a short written report, I mentioned the case because the guy has submitted two very delightful drawings of what it was he saw. We have those posted to our homepage, and people might enjoy reading them. Last report comes from Shanghai, China. This is from the 12th of May, just Thursday of last week, 8 days ago. Gentleman was out, he describes walking with his wife and their dog on the outskirts of Shanghai near the Shanghai airport. And they come to a grassy park. He lies down on the ground. He's looking up just as a triangular craft, very similar in appearance to the Phoenix Lights triangles, just streaked across the sky. You got to see the illustration that he submitted with a very nice report, very nicely written. I suspect he's an executive or perhaps an academician in China, but he had a doozy of a sighting. Lasted, he estimates, only about 4 seconds. He quickly pointed to it so his wife could see it. She saw it just as it was going away from them, but a very interesting report and a very interesting illustration. And finally, three reports of red and orange lights tonight, New York City, Oklahoma City, and less than an hour ago, there was a very dramatic sighting over the Wallingford district of Seattle. I've had two reports now, tends to suggest to me probably a legitimate report. Gentlemen saw five red objects that were projecting red streaks of light like lasers down at the ground. Have no idea what they were, but if anybody in the Seattle area saw those lights tonight, I'd welcome reports from them. We'll put the pieces together and report at a future date what we find.
And Peter, how did the McMinnville UFO Festival go?
The conference went well, George. Many people mentioned you and Tom and your visit there 2 years ago. Dr. Lynn Kitai is the correct pronunciation. You're right. Did a wonderful job of bringing it all together. Mrs. Susan Watson, who had one of those objects hover over her and her children for about 5 minutes, did a fantastic job of presenting. She'd never presented in a public forum before, and she did just a beautiful job as if she'd been doing it her whole life. And a couple of interesting Navajo federal rangers shared some fascinating information about skinwalkers on the Navajo Indian Reservation.
Great story.
And Francis Barwood, always great. And Jim Clarkson did a great job as well. So a lot of fun, and it's a wonderful get-together. It's almost like family down there.
All right, Peter, we'll talk to you next week, okay? Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center, UFOCenter.com. Open lines begin next. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines. Hey, let's get going with these. So let's go to Ed in Philadelphia to get started. Hello, Ed. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, Ed. Thank you.
I thought your interview with Dan Rather was wonderful, and all the questions were great during the phone calls. I actually got through as a caller, but I didn't get to go
Was that you up there on the chart?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were on hold for a while.
I wanted to know something from Mr. Rather, but I've turned it into a question and a comment for you as well.
Okay.
Dan Rather was one of only a couple of reporters who were actually allowed to see the famous Zapruder film within 48 hours of the assassination. And he reported at the time that during the second and final gunshot to the president's head, that his head was blown violently forward, when in actuality, as millions of people have seen,
went backwards.
It went backwards. Even Roger Stone wrote a big article about this within the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
You interviewed him recently. I'd like to ask him that question in the future about Mr. Rather, who claims that Mr. Rather was part of the cover-up and that he might have been ordered by someone, either his employers or CBS or someone higher up, you know, to change that fact so that the public at the time, you know, it would dissuade any doubt that there was only one shooter.
When did the public actually see the Zapruder film in? Was it Look magazine or Life magazine?
One of those two. They showed 30 frames, but not those frames in particular. They didn't want to shock everybody.
They didn't want to shock everybody.
But in 75, it was released, and I think
that's right. That's when it came out.
One of the famous reporters at the time on 60 Minutes or 2020 wanted to show it on the air, or they did show it on the air, and then they got in trouble for it. Also, Mr. Rather mentioned that Donald Trump and Hillary have a lot of negatives, but I believe Donald Trump's alleged negatives are total lies and fabrications. They were created by the corporate media and the elites and the press to impugn him. And their fabrications, whereas Hillary's negatives, including taking $100 million from the Saudis and Gulf states and the illegal usage of her private email server for top secret.
Well, wait till Jerry Corsi's book comes out very soon on their foundation. It is going to rock the world.
I hope so. I love Mr. Corsi. I think he's great.
He's a hard writer, dedicated. But in terms of the film, I'm not speaking for Rather, obviously, but I'm wondering if he just got caught up in the moment of what that was, because
that's
clearly when you see
right.
the film, his head jolts backward.
Right.
And, you know, to me, that means a frontal shot. And they tried to say there's some kind of biological thing that the body reacts backwards if you even get hit from the back. I can't see that.
Well, now that Mr. Rather, whose career I respect, and we watched him for, 15 years on the evening news after Cronkite retired.
24, actually. 24 years.
Oh, 24 years, right, Rather. I wanted to ask him also, like, now that he's exposing so many things, and I agreed with him totally on the George Bush and the, you know, his getting a champagne position.
Yeah, that issue was the documents that they obtained were never authenticated. Some experts said that they were forgeries to trick CBS, and that's what did them in. It was the documents, even though the story, as Dan said, is probably very accurate.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask him whether now that he's working and helping other news organizations expose truths, such as your show does. Like, he should have interviewed the people involved that were witnesses at the time on CBS. I wanted to know, you know, there were so many questions I wanted to ask. I want to know if CBS News would have allowed him to interview the people that confirmed, those documents. Also, yeah, why he only seems to, expose truths about Republicans, whereas there's so many conspiracies and horrors in our government that were done by Democrats also, not just Republicans, and why wouldn't he be willing to expose them as well?
Most media at that time leaned toward the left.
They still do.
Yeah, but you've got conservative, like Fox is conservative now, CNN.
But Fox is kind of in on this alleged late conspiracy of trying to impugn Donald Trump.
Well, they'll come around, because if Trump continues to show that he's going to be the possible presidential winner, people will change, believe me, fast. As a matter of fact,
and Breitbart seem to be the only media outlets that report that Donald Trump has thousands of minorities working at both his campaign headquarters as well as in his many businesses. And those minorities include Hispanic Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans. And to insinuate that he's somehow racist.
He's not racist.
It's going against the truth, and people should know that, and they should stop trying.
He's not racist. What he's talking about, Ed, is he's talking about the frustration of Americans who are fed up with people doing things the wrong, illegal way. Simple as that. You want to break down the borders? Change all the laws of immigration. Just cancel them all out. Let everybody come in. Is that what you want? If not, you have to have an organized country. Other countries don't do this. I mean, my gosh, look at the mess now in Germany and other nations with that situation in Syria, that very sad, horrible situation in Syria. They're changing things now. But Donald Trump, like him or not, is not a racist at all. Let's go to the Bronx. Joe is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey there, musician. What's
George,
going on?
How are you, George? Hi. I didn't get through with the Dan Rather segment, but I wanted to, the question I would have asked him was, what is the most dangerous assignment that he's covered as a journalist?
I would guess it'd have to be Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah. Well, definitely, I guess that would be the situation where he was under the worst threat. But also, now, I wanted to know, rock and roll-wise, if you could possibly get one of the members of the Grateful Dead on a show for an interview.
I'll get Jerry Garcia through a meditation.
You'll have to conjure.
We'll do a seance.
Right, exactly. No, but Bob Weir, Phil Lesher, and Mickey Hart would be interesting. I mean, they've been around for such a long period of time, and I'd like to know where rock and roll is going. I mean, it's been around for 60 years. What's the future of rock and roll?
Here's my quiz to you. What musicians have I had on the air? Internationally known musicians.
National, you know, I know you had two of the Doors.
Yep, I had Manzarek, God rest his soul, and Robbie Krieger.
Robbie Krieger. And did you have Billy Gibbons?
Billy on? Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Right.
There's a couple more.
Couple more.
John Fogerty.
Oh, John Fogerty. I remember.
He loves the show. Listens all the time.
Yes.
And George. Pat Boone. Don't forget Pat.
Pat Boone. Pat Boone was on, too, definitely.
I've had Engelbert Humperdinck on.
Wow. Wow. Great guess.
Yep.
Great guess. Yeah. But you know a lot of people in the music business. I was wondering if maybe you could get my song, you know, to them some way, to at least have a listen.
Well, we already put it on as emerging artist.
Right. Yes, I know. I understand.
Get to Tommy. Tommy's got all their phone numbers.
Oh,
see, they don't give me, my executive producer, Lisa, and right. Our senior producer, Tom, they don't give me the phone numbers.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
They keep them. They keep all these numbers. I can't get them. They won't give them to me. So
wow.
You have to
They're
deal with them.
Tough to get.
Yeah. I mean, Tom keeps it. Lisa keeps it. Those are their numbers.
Okay. Well, I will definitely see what I can do on that end.
But you are a good musician. I'm gonna give you credit for that.
I really appreciate that.
Hey, when you called the guy about the mind and meditation and stuff, are you going to use those techniques?
Oh, yes, definitely.
TM, Transcendental Meditation.
Right. And I'm also going to use that mantra that the numbers lady gave me.
Yeah, good.
I love my audience, and my audience loves me. Thank you, George.
All right, Joseph. Next up, let's go to Andrew out in New York. Welcome to the program. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Mr. Noy. It's actually cheap to walk in New York. This is off the wall, but I wanted to express the about 2 days ago, my fiance and I were going on a road trip sometime in the afternoon. I happened to look up in the sky, and I saw a strange cloud formation, which we took a picture of and put on public Facebook, and it automatically made me think of portals, which automatically made me think of CERN. Yeah, it was very strange, and it's funny because I listened to Steve Quayle and you and Tom Horn and Hagman. And
right.
Tom. But it was very interesting, and I did put it on public Facebook. It was just one of those things I wanted to do.
Did you get much comment?
No, which was very
strange. Really? That is weird. That's stranger than what you saw.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, given the current state of geopolitical events and everything. I was like, wow, not many people. And this is, you know, take it for what it's worth. I just wanted to express it.
Well, how can we look at it again? Why don't you email it to me so I can pass it on to our webmasters?
Yep.
Would you do that?
I don't know exactly how to do that, but I'll stay in the line afterward if maybe one of your webmasters can instruct me on how to do that, because this is real. This is no joke, and I can verify all.
Well, you don't want to stay on the line too long because they're doing the show, so they won't have time to do that. But try to figure it out and get it to us. Sean at coasttocoastam.com. Sean's working this weekend, so maybe you can get that up to him. Hey, by the way, we've got lots going on these days. Oh, forgot to tell you, we're almost at 45,000 members for ParanormalDate.com. I mean, we're like 80 people away. Let's go over the top this weekend, another milestone. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com. No, you go to ParanormalDate.com. I have too many websites. ParanormalDate.com. And if you haven't signed up, sign up. It's free to sign up. And push us over the 45,000 member tops. Hey, don't forget my trips that are coming up. Oh, great trips, as a matter of fact. June 18th in the greater St. Louis area, we are going to have a live stage show event with the father of modern-day ufology, Stanton Friedman, my guest, rock historian R. Gary Patterson, and some other surprises, including a live band, because I may sing some songs there. But full information on that event at coasttocoastam.com and our highlight reel. And then also the event that we've got coming up in Asheville, North Carolina, August 27th. Now, that is a smaller venue theater, right? It's one of the smaller ones I've been in. Those tickets are going to go fast. So if you're in the Asheville, North Carolina area, go to that website. It's at the Diana Wortham Theater. That's August 27th as well. So come on out. We're going to come back. More open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And if you haven't been up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the highlight story. A woman was on a plane and she felt something starting to tickle her. No, it wasn't the guy sitting next to her. It ended up being a tarantula spider. And you got to look at the story. It's incredible at coasttocoastam.com. Anyway, let's go to the phones again. Let us go to Marie in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Marie, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thanks so much. I have a couple questions.
Sure.
First one, I would have loved to have asked Dave what he thought about the Egyptian crash. You know, I live in Chicago, and we had lasers going up towards the cockpits of the planes around here. And also, we've got people that are basically not originally from Chicago working at the airports and stuff. And I'm kind of wondering how much checking they do, you know, with these airports that we've got. Okay, also, about the captain or commander in the Navy that ended up in Iran waters.
Mm-hmm. And they arrested everybody and made them, you know, cry and everything else.
Isn't it funny how Obama's been able to go to Cuba, he's been able to go to Iran, and yet this captain who, or commander who went through all the training that he went through, it couldn't have been somehow with these planes going over our ships that, you know, there was a sense of losing direction or something?
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. This ship lost its bearings for whatever reason. I think their GPS system was jammed or something like that.
Okay, also, I've been basically, and I know most people wouldn't believe it, but I've been threatened.
By whom?
Because it's like I can get certain ideas and stuff, you know, and talk about different things. And it was basically, you know, don't talk about anything, freedom of speech.
Who threatened you?
Different people that decided to sort of attack my family. Okay,
but who are they? Government people? What?
I don't know who they are, George. But my father was in World War II, and he was in the Blitz, and he also had a professional job when he got to Chicago, and he had a lot of insight into different things. And another thing that I wanted to ask you too: isn't it funny that Bobby Kennedy was murdered by somebody from an Arab country. The Holy Father was shot by somebody around the same time. And they also came up with a book about Dr. Mary's monkey.
It's all strange stuff. Well, I want to tell you about Sirhan. We're still trying to get our interview with him through attorney William Pepper, who we had on the air a few months ago. Sirhan's, you know, he admitted that he shot him in the beginning, then he recanted. Says he doesn't remember. Who knows what happened? I think there was another shooter there. Sirhan was probably a Manchurian candidate and was programmed to be there to do something, but there was somebody else there too. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California now. Hey, Thomas, thanks for being on the program.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Thank you for bringing the very best interviews to talk radio.
You can thank our producers, Lisa, our executive producer, and Tom for bringing these people. I'm the puppet. They're the puppet master.
Fantastic, fantastic. Anyway, I mean, you, they're just the best interviews on radio. I'm just
well,
every
thank
night.
You.
I wanted to suggest you interviewed Judy Wood
yes.
a while back. And tough as nails engineer.
Who believes the buildings were taken down by some kind of pulse weaponry.
Absolutely. And it reminded me, if I could throw out very quickly five or six women in the entertainment industry that you may consider possibly interviewing.
Well, don't give me six names. Email it to me.
Okay. Well, my internet connection is down.
But give me your favorite. Who's the one you'd want me to interview for sure?
You know, Alex Jones mentioned Vivian Kubrick.
Stanley's daughter, right?
Yeah, daughter of Stanley Kubrick.
Yep.
I think she would be dynamite. And if I may mention one other person.
Oh, one more. All right.
Okay. Whitley Strieber, his upcoming television show Critical Mass is produced by Gail Ann Hurd, and she is a professional producer.
Yeah, she's a go-getter.
Several of the James Cameron films, and I think she would be very fascinating to interview.
Okay, you got it.
Okay.
We'll work on it.
Thank you again for everything that you do, George.
Okay, you're welcome, Tom. Thank you. Let's go to Jerry out there in Santa Maria, California. Lots of Cali calls. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, George. Hey, I found the perfect date for paranormaldate.com by doing the astrology, and I think if you like coincidences, you're going to love this.
Okay. Also, I don't believe in coincidences. Everything happens for a reason. You know that, Gear.
It's also a guest suggestion. I did, anytime I talk to somebody, I'm trying to get commercial sponsorship for my YouTube channel, and I changed the name to Coast Insiders. It was available. So you just go to YouTube, search for Coast Insiders, and you'll find my YouTube channel. And Joe from the Bronx, hit my email there in the About section. Email me your song. I'll post it on the Coast Insiders YouTube channel along with some other callers. I need help with that. I'm going to T-Mobile. T-Mobile CEO is John Laguerre. You know what his birth date is? June 4th.
That's mine. That's yours.
And then I ran an astrology chart on Paranormal Date. .com. The day that you started, the day it first transacted business was June 4th. You announced it June 3rd, but the banks were closed. They processed the next day. That's what I go by.
That's right.
His chart and ParanormalDate.com's chart match 20,756 to 1.
Wow.
His sun sign is exact. His moon sign is exact. His rising sign is exact. And the midheaven. You would have to look at 20,000 people. But the YouTube channel Coast Insiders, when you have to leave a caller on the line, we can finish it up on YouTube. I can organize all of these artists that keep sending your music that only get a few seconds. I can post their whole song up there. I can post...
Would you do that for them?
Want to say.
That would be great.
Well, I only one person. I'm going to get killed by people wanting to put things in.
Inundated by millions. You have no idea what you've unleashed, Gary.
Yeah, well, if I got T-Mobile corporate backing me up with their 58 million subscribers, and you should listen to what this CEO has to say. No wonder he and you were born on the same date. He's a Gemini. You guys' rising signs are different. You're both into promotion, just like Donald Trump and also like Ringling Brothers. Help me with the name. You know I'm bad at names. P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, but he said a sucker's born every moment. I've never said that.
I know. But combining talk radio with YouTube, making it seamless where somebody can send up to a 3-minute message with a picture of them or what they're talking about, just like I did on Coast Insiders, the marriage will be beautiful. All of your callers can get the last word. It can be organized. I'm not going to be able to do it all at once, but this might serve as a little incentive for John, not only to do an interview with you, but maybe get some real horsepower behind the voice messaging and combining it with the YouTube channel. Why hasn't somebody did this before? The most amazing thing I've ever done is start that channel. I so much encourage people.
How many views do you get right now, Gary?
Pardon me?
How many views do you get right now?
I'm up over 1,000. It was pretty close to 1,100.
This will push it way over. Did you see some lady put some kind of a mask on? She put a Chewbacca mask on her YouTube channel, and she's got like 20 million hits already?
Yeah. Well,
how does this happen? How do people find this?
I took a magenta cowboy hat, bright pink, that matched T-Mobile's colors, and I put it on John Laguerre's head on the graphic. I put a cowboy hat on your head up there.
What's the name of that song, Love is an Open Store? What's the name of that? Danny, you know that song? It's from a Disney movie. And anyways, a lady sang it, pantomimed it, with her daughter in the front seat of her car. She's got like 30 million hits on this thing already. I don't know how they get this done. How do you do this? That's amazing. Very powerful. Social network tied into all this stuff we do is very, very strong. Let's go to Kansas now, the state of. Millie's with us, first-time caller. What got you to call, Millie? What do you got for us?
Well, hi, George.
Hello.
I first want to say that I've been listening to you for years.
Well, thank you.
And you're wonderful. I wanted to say about last night, your guest. And he was talking about the children in Brazil.
Oh, yes. David Weatherly, who's an expert in the black-eyed children.
Right. Well, I don't have black eyes, but the children in Brazil that went into spasms and were screaming, I had that exact thing happen to me when I was 6 years old. And my father had just passed away, and we'd just moved from West Virginia to Pennsylvania. And I happened to sleep with my mother, and in the middle of the night, I was startled awake, and I saw the man in black. And he had his hands outstretched, and he was coming toward me. And I started screaming, and my mother woke up and she said, what's the matter? What's the matter? And just before he put his hands on my throat, I told her that he was trying to sack me up and take me away.
Oh, my gosh.
And my mother clutched me to her real tight, and she said a prayer. And at the end, she said, in Jesus' name, be gone.
Did that send him away?
Yeah, but before he went away, he swiped everything off the dresser.
What do you mean he swiped everything off the dresser? Like he knocked it all over?
Yes, like he stretched out his arm and everything went off the dresser.
He was angry and pouted.
Yes, and I didn't know it at that time, but the house we had moved into was haunted anyway.
Well, at least you got out of that okay, Millie, and that's a good thing. Let's go to Terry in Kent, Washington. Hey, Terry, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, George.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Say, good morning to America, too. Those black-eyed children last night.
Scary stuff.
That was an excellent program, and thank you.
You're welcome.
I've been listening to Coast since Gulf War One and Art Bell, and I got to tell you, that was back in Dreamland days, and I've really enjoyed this program. I listen to it every night. I drive for 10.5 hours a year on my radio.
Wow. Do you haul stuff?
I'm a security patrol officer, checking doors, checking IDs, finding out who's trespassing, getting them out of there, etc.
Okay. I bet you've come across some strange things.
Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes a little too strange.
I believe it. What's the weirdest thing that you can say?
Well, when it involves blood or handcuffs, that's as weird enough as I want to get.
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
The black-eyed children, there's an actor called Peter Weller. He did RoboCop.
Okay, right.
He also did another movie, science fiction, on a planet somewhere, and he was a soldier, and there's a little like an orphan kid that sits on a step with a teddy bear, and it's called Screamers, and it's part two. And that's starring Peter Weller. If you want to look at what a black-eyed child acts like, he sits on a step. He's an automatic little automaton. And he says, can I go with you? And he carries a little teddy bear, and both of these things, their heads open up, and saw blades come out and take people's stuff. And if you want to see what a black-eyed child would be acting like, plug into that movie, Screamers, Part 2. And that little child that sits on the step, they come upon him, and he says, can I go with you? And next thing you know, he's attacking everybody and wiping everybody out in the platoon. It's an awesome movie.
Gosh. Okay, we'll do that. Weller's been in like a zillion movies, hasn't he?
Exactly.
Okay, you're breaking up right at the end, but we'll check it out. I wonder if Netflix has it. Let's go to Ron in St. Louis on the wild card line. Hey, Ron, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, this is great. I can't believe that I finally got through. Hey,
the frequency wave thing, you know, the guy back in 1910 that invented the microscope.
Right.
He overloaded frequencies into the viruses that he had in his microscope, and they exploded. And supposedly, this is a story that I've heard, supposedly he died penniless and broke on the streets while the pharmaceutical companies made billions of dollars.
On his stuff.
He knows that the frequencies can kill viruses. Why don't we start looking into frequencies and kill viruses?
That's a great idea. I want to check into that for a show.
Are you really talking to me?
I sure am.
I'm listening to the radio, and, oh, man, this is great.
Where are you in St. Louis? You know I'm out there a lot.
I'm not actually in St. Louis. I'm actually in Bourbon, Missouri right now.
Okay.
I grew up in South St. Louis.
That's a great area.
I listen to you all the time, man. I listen to you all the time. I'm out in my car because I can't get you in my house.
Ugh.
I go in my house, I cannot get you on the radio. My wife's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going out to the car so I can listen to Coast because I'm home.
Well, if you really need to and you have a computer in your house, go to iHeartRadio.com, and you can find me that way, too.
This is amazing. I can't believe you're talking to me. But anyway, the frequency thing, I think, is the way to go, and I'm kind of scared that maybe you shouldn't go into that field. But, you know, because I was on Channel 4 News, the guy came up and he said, I worked in radio my whole life. I got cancer. I built this machine, and he sits inside this machine, and he throws these frequency waves into his body. He ends up curing his own cancer, and he goes, within 4 years, I can have all these machines in every hospital in the world. I told my old lady while we were sitting there, my wife, excuse my language, I told my wife, I said, while we're sitting there watching this on Channel 4 News, I go, this guy's going to end up dead. She goes, why do you say that? I said, because he's telling you he's got the cure for cancer. And next thing you know, you never hear about this ever again.
There's a machine called a radionics machine, too, that'll do similar things like that. No, you're absolutely right. By the way, go to ccrane.com, and look for the CC Radio 2E. That may help you in your house. We'll be back.